Hi, I'm Susan Rosenthal.
And I'm Tessa Brock. Welcome to the Dips of Doubt podcast, where we guide leaders through moments of uncertainty, because we know leadership can be difficult.
We are here to walk this journey alongside you, to normalize the challenges, grapple with the struggles, and celebrate the successes.
So let's get started dispelling those dips of doubt. Today, we wanted to talk a little bit about being trauma responsive in the school setting. So I remember when I first began having conversations with educators about being trauma responsive, I remember there were some educators that got really frustrated and they're like, you just want to give them a get out of jail free card and you don't want to hold kids accountable and you just want people to be able to do whatever they want to do. And I think what's really important, because there has been so much conversation about being trauma responsive, what I want to highlight is that in my belief, I believe that being trauma responsive allows us to have more accountability than we used to. We just do it different. And so in my world, what that looks like is in the old way of doing things, if a student or a person messed up, I would get activated. That person would definitely be activated. And in my hotness, I would address that person. I would go and I would have that conversation, but I wouldn't have paused and I wouldn't have thought through the relationship or my approach. And I would have just said what I wanted to say because I had every right to say it. And then, of course, that wouldn't turn out well and bridges would be burned and it wouldn't be productive. I think we still accidentally do that quite often, hopefully not so much with employees, but I think we do that a lot with students, that when a student gets dysregulated, we get mad and we up the ante, and then they up the ante, and then we up the ante, and then we give them a zinger because they've hurt us and we want to hurt them right back. For me, we have the opportunity to shift things when we're being trauma responsive. And I remember a conversation, Jim Sporleader, who was the principal of Paper Tigers. And if anybody's interested in watching that documentary, it's an amazing documentary from Walla Walla, Washington, about Jim Sporleader and the work that he did in an alternative high school. But one of the things that he talked about is that the first time he tried to really show up differently in a trauma responsive way, there was a kid who had used the F word, had told a teacher to F off in a classroom. And the student was sent to the principal's office. And the school kind of protocol was, if you use the F word and you tell a teacher to F off, then it's an automatic 3-day suspension. And Jim Sporleader was changing that. And he said, I don't want to do that way anymore. I want to do it different. So the student came in and the student was talking about like how mad they were and just ended up saying, you know, here's the way that my day started. And it's actually my 16th birthday. And my dad has been an absent dad my whole life. And he's made all kinds of promises my whole life. And I knew I shouldn't have gotten my hopes up. I knew my dad wasn't going to follow through. But my dad has been telling me forever that on my 16th birthday, that when I wake up, there would be a car in the driveway. And he's like, I didn't know how not to be excited about it. And when I got up, I was stupid, but I looked out the window and I thought there was going to be a car and there wasn't a car. And he's like, so that by this time, the kid's calming down. He's telling what's happening. And Jim Sporleader is just going, that sucks. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry that happened. I had no idea. The kid ends up regulating himself, saying, you know what? That teacher didn't deserve for me to say that to them. I shouldn't have said it. I was wrong. And Jim says, it's not okay. And then Jim ends up staying. So there's going to need to be a consequence for your behavior, right? But Jim has stayed regulated the entire time. The student has now regulated. And at this point, the student's ready to say, absolutely, I need to go fix things with the teacher because I shouldn't have done that. And then there's still a consequence, but it wasn't the 3-day suspension because we know suspensions don't work. And so it was an in-school consequence. And I really think for me, that's what we're going towards is how do we regulate ourselves enough to listen to hear what the other person's experience is, to have grace and compassion for their experience. And then we still follow through on whatever that limit or boundary is, but we do it in a way and in a timing where the other person's brain can take it in. We can truly have learning and changed behavior, and we can not damage the relationship in the process. What are your thoughts?
I think those relationships are so key, right? We want to put deposits into the bank, so to speak, with our emotions. We want to be sure that we are addressing the relationship so that when a student or an adult makes that poor choice and becomes dysregulated, we can listen, we can pause again, we can then help them to calm themselves. But when we're in a power struggle or two dysregulated brains are trying to attack the problem of regulating, it doesn't work. It does not help for a dysregulated adult to try to calm a dysregulated child or young adolescent or another colleague. So important to remember that we can't help the problem, solve the problem until everybody's in a calm state. And so I think as adults, the lesson for all of us is to remember that sometimes it's better to not say anything and wait, that we all need to hold people accountable for whatever the situation is, because if you accept how an adult treats another adult poorly, then that becomes the norm on your campus. If you allow students to be unruly in classrooms and disruptive and not kind, I don't know how else to say it, but not kind, then that becomes the norm in that classroom. But you can't address it until everybody is in a state where they're calm. And so it's taking the power struggle out. And as a parent, I think I remember many days where I just wanted to win, right? And so it's natural for all of us to want to fix it because we're the adults, or because I have power as your boss or as the veteran educator to fix it because I have the seniority or whatever. But that doesn't work, because in that process, we're taking a lot of withdrawals out of the bank and we're destroying that relationship. And like we've said before, everybody's watching.
Yeah.
And whatever you allow becomes the norm.
Yeah. So I think that the challenge really is about being mindful of how trauma responsive are we being, and being conscious and intentional about the timing that we want. And it's important to have accountability. It's important to have follow through. It's important to have those tough conversations, and it's important to have discipline. But the importance is making sure that we're doing it at the right timing.
So how are you paying attention to your timing when students are dysregulated or when adults are dysregulated?
Thanks for listening. We know your time is precious. Remember, you've got this and we've got you.
Now go shine your light and keep making a difference for others. You matter. Today's episode is sponsored by Pima County School Superintendent's Lead Now program, a program supporting new and aspiring leaders to be the best that they can be.